You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
What up?
Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, I'm good. How are you, Troy?
Excellent, excellent. I think today we decided that we'd there's some reissues that have become available again that we're going to listen to, but also something else which just celebrated its 25th anniversary.
Oh, that's a big anniversary.
I guess it is, 25 years. I tell you, it does not seem like 25 years, not just because, oh, my lifetime goes past so quickly, not just because of that, but because when you hear it, it's like, wow, there's nothing that specifically dates it to the time period in which it was released.
I think I'm going to guess what artist this is.
Have a go.
Is it Aphex Twin?
It's Aphex Twin. Selected ambient works 85 to 92.
Because you're right, it is timeless.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it's such a peculiar thing to like become timeless, and it was rather an anomaly when it came out. For a start, it was the first release under the name Aphex Twin. There'd been an EP under the name AFX prior to it, and possibly even some other ones under different names. There might have been a Caustic Window one out by that point. I'm not exactly sure.
Because you brought in a record a long time ago that had Aphex Twin on it, and he was collaborating with, who was it?
I just don't remember.
Oh, man, because I can't remember either, and I've been trying to find out what that album was called.
I will remember for you.
Okay.
This year, yeah, like I said, this is the first release under the name Aphex Twin. It's a double album.
Cool.
And the title, Selected Ambient Works 85 to 92. While that should give us some clue about it, I don't think that anything about Richard D. James, a.k.a. Aphex Twin, is as clear as people like to think it is. He said that this entire record was recorded on a Casio F210.
What's a Casio F210 for people that don't know,
an analog keyboard.
Okay, cool.
And I have no reason to doubt that, although there must have been souped up, modified, customized filters on it, because there's nothing else really that sounds like that, which is
so
made on that.
Just using this one instrument.
Yeah, and
wow.
It was all recorded onto cassette, straight onto cassette, cassette tape.
And what does that do to the sound, like recording it through onto cassette?
Well, for a start, it's a cassette is magnetic tape.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cheapest form of magnetic tape. It's doesn't have a reputation as having fine sonic fidelity.
Right.
And when it was recorded onto that basically became the master as well. So he met with a record company in Belgium who were interested, and he took over a box of these cassettes that he'd recorded, and they assembled the album out of that. So Selected, yes, these are certainly Selected. The 85 to 92, he said that some of these compositions date back to when he was 12 years old in 1983.
No way. How does he have recordings from when he was 12 years old?
Well, I don't know. See, I
Goodness.
Don't know whether it's true. I mean, I also don't know whether he actually lived on the roundabout of Elephant and Castle when he moved to London. I don't know.
It's such a mystery.
Yeah, I mean, everything he sees is misdirection, and fair enough, because it's not Richard D. James himself that is interesting, it's what he produces, it's
right.
The music that he creates.
Yeah, that's true.
So the 85 to 92, possibly not. Ambient works, well, is this actually ambient? Well, not by the strict definition of what Brian Eno said when he created his ambient series, which, if you recall, it was music that can be ignored as much as listened to. I guess that it kind of fits, but it doesn't. I mean, basically what you hear in this is elements of there's the second half of the album, there's lots of like acid sort of sounds, the squelchy acid sounds. I guess you could say that it was a form of minimalist techno for a lot of it. There's some house rhythms in there, you know, all of these things which might pinpoint it in a period of time,
yeah.
But to me, don't, because what you have is like his composition, the melody and the harmony and the rhythm. These things aren't reliant on a specific popular form of music. This goes back to like music composition.
Yeah.
So I think this is a magnificently fun record. It's also, I think it's the most positive sounding thing that Aphex Twin has ever done. Some of the stuff that he's gone into has been hilarious, but, yeah. but like quite frightening,
right.
And unsettling. This here is like has an air of positivity right through pretty cool. much everything on the whole record.
What do you think it is that allows for that to be, that kind of positivity?
Well, without wanting to get too technical about it, I just think that the energy in equals energy out. In mm-hmm. this, I mean, that sounds dreadfully hippie, but I don't quite mean it like that. I mean, it was composed as something which was, you know, possibly he was even just making it for himself at yeah. the time, that horrible cliche. I don't know. Who okay. knows with
Let's
this
like
guy?
Roll with that horrible cliche.
Let's roll with that. This here, I mean, there's not much vocal on this album, and in fact, we're That's not okay. going to play one with vocal. We're going to play the second track, which is one of the finest pieces I think Aphex Twin ever did, and it's called Tha, T-H-A.
Let's do it.
I'm sorry.
So we're listening to Aphex Twin.
THA. Selected ambient works 85 to 92. As we said, 25th anniversary as
it's
of
amazing.
A couple of weeks ago.
I haven't actually ever listened to that, so it's great to be able to listen to some new music for me that's been around for a while.
Yeah, back on vinyl again. We got it on the shelves at Southbound 2, two LP set, like I said. And like I said, today we're looking at newly available on vinyl material.
Yeah.
That we've got in at Southbound. The next thing we're going to do is this one here has appeared on vinyl a couple of times over the years, although not for a little while now. This is the debut album from the great Prince Far Eye, 1976. It is called Psalms for Eye.
Okay. I don't know who Prince Far Eye is.
Prince Far Eye, well, remember last week, for some reason, we mentioned The Clash. Oh, I know why, because we said, like, about on stage there ain't no roots rock rebel from White Man in Hammersmith.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so if you are familiar with The Clash, you might be familiar with the tune Clash City Rockers. Mm. In that, it mentions the bells of Prince Far Eye. Now, a lot of us... back then, a lot of us who came out of the punk thing, the first sort of introduction to reggae was via groups like The Clash.
Mm-hmm.
And Prince Far Eye was one of those, but kind of an odd one. Well, just sort of an anomaly anyway. Prince Far Eye was like a fairly strict Rastafarian. He became, well, prior to that, he was known as King Cry Cry, and he did a...
King Cry Cry.
King Cry Cry. He was named that because it was noted that if he became incensed with anger, he'd burst into tears.
Hey, so, fair enough. So that happens to me.
Oh, there you go. Just then, in fact. King Cry Cry. So he'd done a couple of singles with... who had he done them with? He'd done one with Bunny Lee. He'd done something with Enos McLeod. And, in fact, when he was working with the great producer Enos McLeod, he was renamed Prince Far Eye. And the producer of this album, Psalms for Eye, is a man called Lloydie Slim. Now, Lloydie Slim isn't much mentioned as a producer anymore. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that Lloydie Slim had done in the early 70s is he'd done some work with Tappazuki, and they'd used the Soul Vendor's rhythm for drum song and done a psalm,
wow.
i.e. a psalm from the Bible. Because,
wow.
As you know, the Rastafari religion, yeah, is like an extremist, well, not extremist, but a fundamentalist form of Judaic religion,
yeah,
like Christianity or whatever. So that was a psalm. Now, I don't know whether Lloydie Slim had it in his head, I think I need to find the right sort of voice to do an entire album of this, but nonetheless, it's what was done. They recorded it in 75, and what it is, as it suggests, Psalms for Eye. It's nine psalms from the book of, I guess it's the book of Psalms, is it? In the,
yes,
Bible, I suppose, yep, it is.
I suppose, I don't know.
And one thing from the other testament, the Lord's Prayer. And Lloydie Slim had worked a lot with Bunny Lee, in different capacities, mm-hmm, but Bunny Lee had owed him enough that he gave him access to all these aggravators rhythms that they could use for the tunes. Also, Lee Perry, for some reason, decided he wanted in and gave them an upsetters rhythm to use, and Alton Ellis did the same. So it's mostly aggravated stuff, although...
What do you mean when you say aggravated?
Aggravators was Bunny Lee's group of studio musicians.
Oh, I thought you said, like, you feel aggravated when
you
listen to...
Yeah, you only think that because of that thing just earlier on. Anyhow, this was... So basically you have, like, would this work if the guy had, like, a light, polite, pleasant voice? Maybe.
Mm.
But what really makes this work is that Prince Far Eye had what became known later in the title of an album, The Voice of Thunder.
Whoa.
So he's an amazing vocalist. After this record, he went on and did some more overtly political things. The one afterwards, Heavy Manners,
mm-hmm,
was, which you might also know from The Clash.
Yeah, I've heard of,
they,
yeah,
painted it on their clothes.
Right, okay.
Heavy Duty Discipline under Heavy Manners.
Yeah.
That was like a... sort of an attack against Michael Manley's ruling party in Jamaica at the time, 1976. Okay. But anyway, let's go back to this one. Psalms for I. It was produced and wasn't released in Jamaica immediately. They decided it would be better if it was released in Britain. So it went to a label called Carib Gems, which was the first label that Adrian Sherwood did.
Wow.
And that was, and from there on, Adrian Sherwood was fairly closely associated with Prince Far Eye.
Cool.
They did a really great series of records called Cry Tough Encounter. Far Eye like developed his own backing band. It was the Arabs, it was also the Roots Radix, and then became the Dub Syndicate, mm-hmm. who of course Adrian Sherwood is still kind of associated with. Anyway,
shall we have a listen?
Yes, it's back out on vinyl on the fantastic Precious Sounds label.
And what's the track that we're going to be listening to?
Well, I think it's one of the Psalms we're going to listen to. It might be a Psalm of David. Is it Psalm 23?
I can't remember what CD player it's in, Troy. So
it's
kind
that
of
one over there.
It's the one this one over there.
Yeah, we're playing it off CD, though. We have it on vinyl in the shop.
So it's in the shop at the moment?
Yeah. Well, actually, no. Maybe it goes tomorrow. It's either on the shelf today or tomorrow at Southbound.
And let's have a listen. If it's going to play for me. Do we hear anything? Oh, it's because I got the wrong CD. Oh, my gosh.
Well, gas in the fire and you never get burned. Yeah. Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive thou the trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all.
Oh, man.
Well, obviously that is the Lord's Prayer, which is not a psalm at all. Let's skip it.
Okay, skip it.
Go to the next one. This is what we want to hear.
Is it this one, Troy? Oh, it doesn't let me go.
There we are.
I and I will give thee praise in any great congregation thou art dwelling. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great, God great, kings above all gods. In his hands there is the place of the earth, the strength of the hills, the sea. He made it. He formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us bow down and worship him. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And after days of temptation in the wilderness, when your father tempted I, prove I and I and saw I and I were 40 years long. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said it is a people that do hear in the heart, and they have not known I and I way. I and I way they don't know, and to whom I swear in the I and I rod, that they should not hear unto I and I. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto the Lord with songs. For the Lord is great, 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 great kings above all gods. Great kings above all gods, yeah, yeah. In his hands are a deep place of the earth, the strength of the hills is also the sea. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us bow down and worship him.
Come let us bow down and worship him, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we will hear his voice, art not your heart as the provincial. And as the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your father tempted I, prove I and I work, and sigh and I work 40 years long. 40 years long, yeah. I grieve with this generation.
Brilliant.
The magnificent
work.
Prince Farai.
Yeah, it's great. I've never listened to him before, so it's nice to hear something new.
Yeah,
again.
Well, there he is. It's that being back on vinyl is great. But I mean, it's great anyway. It's great just to hear it. I mean, it is like the Jamaican sort of toasting style,
mm-hmm.
except that there, where you know, the fact that he's like chanting out of the holy book. You know,
yeah, because like, where would he be performing this kind of music?
Well, I don't know whether he actually performed the Psalms.
Right.
He might have, but yeah. I don't think so. I think usually the stuff that I've heard of his live material is performing other stuff.
Mm.
But, you know, I could well be wrong.
Yeah.
I do not know. Prince Farai, RIP, it was killed in 1985.
It's a sad story.
At his house in Jamaica, yeah. Moving along, the next reissue, this one here. This one has had a storied history. This one has. Now, it's the second album by an early 90s hip-hop group called KMD, causing much damage, possibly. Mm-hmm. KMD. Their first album was called Mr. Hood.
And, Mr. Hood.
Mr. Hood. And it was like, it was a bizarre, kind of fun, amusing record on one level. And there was like Sesame Street samples, and the thread through the record was like an instructional language record. And they interacted with that and made that language record, Mr. Hood. But it was also a kind of a taking shots at a racial inequality.
Cool.
For their follow-up record, this here, the second KMD album, I've decided I'm not going to say the title on the radio, not because I want to censor it. It's because I'm not entirely sure that I'm just not going to say it. But
fair
it's
enough.
BLCKBSTRDS, and it's like on the cover is like a hangman game with the missing letters.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of like a caricature of what used to be called a Sambo character drawn on the hangman noose.
Right? Yeah, it's pretty bleak.
You would
cover.
Think. It's a bleak sort of cover, but and you would think, is this kind of a bleak record? In one way, yes, and I'm going to tell you why in a second, but in another way, no.
Yeah.
It's KMD were a duo, Zev Love X and DJ Sub Rock. Now, these were the
great names.
Yeah, these were the DeMille brothers. Two brothers, quite close in age, 2 years apart, I think. And I think what comes across both on Mr. Hood and on this record, I should also add that there was another fellow on the first record, Onyx, but mm-hmm. he quit by the time of this one, so it's just the two brothers. What comes across is the kind of in-jokes and brotherly telepathy that you only get from like real closeness.
Oh.
So it's like really, really textured and richly layered.
And do they bounce off each other really well as well?
Yeah, in most cases. And there's something else in that... most of the only recognizable samples of this come from a record called The Blue Gorilla from 1970. The Blue Gorilla, which was made by one of the last poets,
okay.
Guylen Cain, so it was. And so, and that was like, according to everyone that was associated with them, that was like a super important record to them. That was their go-to for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Quite an amusing record and kind of an examination of racial politics as well.
Yeah.
Now, what happened with this record? Why did it have a story sort of thing to it? Well, partly, just before it was finished, DJ Sub Rock attempted to cross the Long Island Freeway and was killed by a car, age 19, right? Which just left Zev Love X to finish up the record. They were signed to Elektra, a major label.
They're really young.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The major label Elektra, as soon... I don't know whether it was when they saw this cover art, which we've already described, or the title, which I didn't read out, Black Bristles, or whether it was, in fact, a couple of journalists who got wind of it and kicked up a stink, whether that's what informed it. Anyway, Zev Lovix was called into the offices and said, okay, we're not going to release this. It's just not going to happen. Tell you what, we'll pay you off. Here's some money and you can take the masters. It's yours. Goodbye. Zev Lovix then disappeared for a few years until 1997 he re-emerged as MF Doom.
Cool.
So this is basically one of the early...
Man, that's really rough.
It is rough.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's really sad.
The record itself, it like crept out in a different form in the late 90s, I think, and then Doom put it out on his Metal Face label briefly in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Briefly again in 2010, and now they've it's been actually been months we've been waiting for this. It's been to be pressed.
Cool. But and here it is.
Here it is again on Doom's Metal Face label, double album, the second album from KMD. It's really I only heard this in the mid 2000s for the first time.
Yeah.
I think this is quite a magnificent record, and don't think of it as the origin of Doom the supervillain. I think all of that origin of Doom happened in the years between 94, the period of this, and 97 when he re-emerged.
He probably doesn't want you to think that as well, because
no.
It's like him and his brother, right?
Well, I don't know. I've never really heard him talk about
it. I'm just putting
it
out into the open.
Right. Okay. Declassified. KMD, the second KMD album. Now, who knows if these things are even set up correctly, but I think we should be hearing the tune Gimme. What do you think?
Nope.
Let's give it a try.
Yep, now we are.
Let's try.
Let's listen to it.
Here we go.
was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.